They ask you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the new moons. Say, these are the signs to mark 6 periods of time for mankind and for the pilgrimage. It is not al-bir, piety, righteousness, that you enter the houses from the back, but al-bir is the quality of the one who fears Allah. Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. True piety is him who fears Allah, and we've already been through a comprehensive definition of that. So enter houses through their proper doors, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and be conscious of Allah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, in order that you may succeed. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight you, but do not transgress the limits. Indeed, Allah does not like the transgressors. In this verse we can see, this then is the Islamic concept of jihad. The Prophet ﷺ once defined jihad. He said, whoever fights so that the word of Allah is made uppermost, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that is in the path of Allah, not when you're fighting for land or when you're fighting to cheat someone out of their heritage. Allah says, and do not transgress the limits. We know that the Prophet ﷺ forbade the killing of women and of children. And one of the later Khalifas also forbade the killing of farmers. They forbade senseless destruction of crops. They forbade deforestation. Why was all this done? Because this all comes under the heading of transgression. And we can compare to the injustices that are being inflicted upon Muslims today, all in the name of war. And kill them wherever you find them, and turn them out from where they have turned you out. And persecution is worse than killing. And do not fight with them at the sacred mosque unless they first fight you there. But if they attack you, then kill them. This is Islam, that don't commit acts of aggression, but if someone is fighting against you, then fight back. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers. But if they cease, then Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً, and fight them until there is no more oppression. That's what a Muslim fights for the end of persecution. وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ, and all worship becomes for Allah alone. But if they cease, let there be no transgression except against the wrongdoers. If you think about it, when the Prophet ﷺ entered Makkah, there was no bloodshed, there was no violence, no destruction of houses, no torture inflicted upon innocent men, women or children. I think about a total of 6 people were killed, and they also were killed because they were active enemies against Islam. And the others were all forgiven. The sacred month is for the sacred month, and for the prohibited things, there is a law of equality. Then whoever transgresses the prohibition against you, you transgress likewise against him. And fear Allah, and know that Allah is with those who are Allah conscious. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and spend in the cause of Allah. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, for Allah's deen. Whether it's military jihad, or it's intellectual jihad, or it's, you know, giving money to a mosque, whenever we give to any cause that is helping to spread Islam, that's fi sabilillah. And do not destroy yourselves, because if we don't spend on Islam, then we are the ones who will suffer. Wa ahsinu, and do ihsan. Ihsan, the level of perfection. Inna allaha yuhibbul muhsineen. Indeed Allah loves those who do ihsan. What is ihsan? When you do good to someone who has done bad to you. And perform properly the Hajj and the Umrah. Now we find laws pertaining to Hajj. But if you are prevented, someone falls sick and he can't complete his Hajj, sacrifice an animal such as you can afford, and do not shave your head until the sacrificial animal reaches the place of sacrifice. And whosoever of you is ill or has an ailment in his scalp, he must pay a ransom of either observing fast, or giving sadaqah, or offering sacrifice. Then if you are in safety, and whosoever performs the Umrah in the months of Hajj, before performing the Hajj, he must slaughter an animal such as he can afford. But if he cannot afford it, if someone can't even afford the animal, he should observe fast for 3 days during Hajj, and 7 days after his return to his home, making 10 days in all. This is for him whose family is not present at the sacred mosque. He doesn't live in Makkah. And fear Allah much, and know that Allah is severe in punishment. You know, people take these commandments lightly. Oh, Allah is not going to ask us about a little thing like that. Allah says, know that Allah is severe in punishment. The Hajj is in the well-known months. So whosoever intends to perform Hajj therein, then he should not have marital relations, nor commit sin, nor dispute unjustly during the Hajj. And whatever good you do, be sure Allah knows it. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, and take a provision with you for the journey. You should have enough for your transportation and your provisions while you are there. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى, Allah says, but the best provision is Allah consciousness. We find that in the Quran, Allah constantly interweaves mundane, worldly laws with spiritual connections. That even when you're doing something like this, your mind should be on Allah. You might be gathering, you know, your clothes or your food or whatever it is you're going to be using during those days over there. Don't forget that inner consciousness of Allah. Sometimes we're so busy preparing for Ramzan, we're buying provisions, and we don't think of the spiritual aspect for Ramzan. We should be mentally preparing ourselves for that month as well. وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So fear me alone, O men of depth, people of understanding. There is no sin on you if you seek the bounty of your Lord. In other words, if you've gone for Hajj and at the same time you've got some business as well, you can do that. Then when you leave Arafat, remember Allah at the sacred monument and remember Him as He has guided you. And indeed you were before of those who were astray. Then depart from the place whence all the people depart. Wastaghfirullah, and ask Allah for His forgiveness. When do we ask Allah for His forgiveness? When we've done something we think is wrong. Allah says, even when you're doing something as sublime as Hajj, ask Allah for His forgiveness. Truly Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So when you have accomplished your rites, remember Allah. After finishing your rites, go on remembering Allah. We get up from that prayer mat and we forget all about Allah. Remember Allah as you remember your forefathers, or with a more intense remembrance. ومن الناس, amongst mankind, are those who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. O our Lord, give us in this world. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And for such, there will be no share in the hereafter. This is a very important dua. Allah says that people ask for different things when they go for Hajj. Some just ask for the world. And Allah says, for such, there will be no share in the hereafter. We commonly hear people say, oh, I'm going through so many problems, I've decided to go for Umrah and I'll pray to Allah. That's not forbidden. But Allah says, don't be so narrow-minded. Broaden your horizons. Enrich your understanding of deen. Is that all your vision is limited to? This world? This 60, 70 years that you're going to be here? That's all you're worried about? Your children, your careers, your jobs, your houses, your wealth? That's all your vision is confined to? Allah says, those people who just ask for the world, fine, Allah will give them the world. But they'll get nothing in the hereafter. وَمِنْهُمْ, and amongst them, مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. They are those who say, oh our Lord, give us that in this world which is good. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا, and in the hereafter that which is good. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the torment of the fire. In other words, this is the moderation of the Muslim. The mu'min asks for the world and for the hereafter. He's not just praying for the hereafter. He's praying for both. And then he goes on to say, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the torment of the fire. This is the dua of the Ummati Wasata. And this was one of the most recited duas by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا. For such there will be allotted a share for what they have earned. Obviously, if we're asking for the world and the hereafter, if we're trying both for the world and the hereafter, then we'll get in both, inshallah. But if we're just trying for the world, and all our efforts also, all our du'as are also for the world, then we need not expect anything in the hereafter. Wallahu sariul hisab. And Allah is swift of reckoning. And remember Allah during the appointed days, or the days of Hajj. But whosoever hastens to leave in 2 days, there is no sin on him. And whosoever stays on, there is no sin on him if his aim is to do good and obey Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, and be conscious of Allah. And know that you will be gathered unto Him. Surah Al-Baqarah has been described by Khurram Murad as the blueprint of the entire Sharia. And he says, like a golden thread constantly running through, we find these words, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, be conscious of Allah. All these things that you're doing, whether Hajj, whether your business dealings, whether you're going through problems, someone's been killed, whether you're fasting, wattaqullah. That theme is constantly recurring. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and of mankind there is he whose speech may please you in this worldly life. And he calls Allah to witness as to that which is in his heart. Yet he is the most quarrelsome of the opponents. And when he turns away, his effort in the land is to make mischief therein, and to destroy the crops and the cattle. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ, and Allah does not love mischief. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, he is led by arrogance to crime. So enough for him is hell. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ, and worst indeed is that place to rest. Who is this person? This is the picture of a hypocrite, whether on an individual level or on a collective level. What does this hypocrite do? He's very eloquent. He's very glib in his speeches. And when you listen to him, you're so impressed. But when you look at his actions dispassionately, you realize what he's trying to do is to destroy land, to destroy the resources of this earth, and to destroy the generations of mankind. Now, I'll read out an extract in which it says, in 1990, a group of six countries asked that a third convention be negotiated on protecting the world's forests. They had in mind, in particular, the world's tropical rainforests, which are currently vanishing. But many of these countries at the same time are planning to cut down their own forests. See, their speeches are very beautiful and their speeches are very high flown, but this is what they're really doing. And that's not all. We find that there are many corporations, many companies that export their toxic waste to African countries for a price. And these African countries have to agree because they're so heavily in debt. Why is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he turns away, his effort in the land is to make mischief therein and to destroy the crops. They want to finish off the earth's resources and they like to put the onus on the third world. They like to say, oh, the third world is overpopulated. The third world is the one which, you know, is destroying their forests. Wal-nasal, and they want to destroy people. And ironically enough, it's the third world's population that they're interested in controlling. And it's the third world's population that they're interested in destroying. Wallahu la yuhibbul fasad. Allah does not love mischief. See, in this book, The King of the Castle, we find this author describes Western man. They alone had achieved the capacity to look upon everything in creation as material for exploitation, seeing a tree only as timber, a lamb only as meat, and a mountain only as the site for a quarry. And this single-minded rapacity is now taken for granted as natural to man. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. They want to destroy us in every way, literally by encouraging women to become barren, and in other ways as well, by ruining our thinking, by messing up our ideas. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, when you try and point this out to them, he is led by arrogance to crime. They are the ones who hold these grand conferences. They are the ones who make these grand speeches denouncing third world countries as people who don't care about the environment. So enough for him is hell. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. And worst indeed is that place to rest. The picture of the ultimate hypocrite, obsessed with his own self-interest, not caring about the rest of mankind. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And of mankind, is he who would sell himself seeking the pleasure of Allah. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is full of kindness to his slaves. Literally, we find that one of the companions, Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, he was about to flee Makkah, migrating to Medina, when a group of the kuffar surrounded him and said, we'll kill you, we won't let you go. And he said, all right, I give you one option, that if I were to give you all my wealth that I'm leaving behind in Makkah, would you let me go? And they said, we'll let you go. So he literally sacrificed everything he had so he could escape with his Islam. And when he reached Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam greeted him by saying, your transaction has been successful, O Suhaib. Would we have done that? Are we capable of such love? وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah too is full of kindness to his slaves. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter fully into Islam. Your lives, your weddings, your social customs, your speech with your parents should all be done in Allah's commands. What are you waiting for? And follow not the footsteps of shaitan. Indeed, he is to you a plain enemy. We all have in our minds certain limits. Well, I'll obey Allah only so much, and I'm not prepared to do the rest as yet. That has to wait. Allah says, "Udkhulu fi silmi kafa." What are you waiting for? Because if you slide back after the clear signs have come to you, then know Allah is almighty, all-wise. Do they then wait for anything other than that Allah should come to them in the shadows of the clouds and the angels? The case would already be judged by them. Is that what we're waiting for when we die and we'll reach Allah and say, oh Allah, I was planning to start praying regularly. Like I met someone who was telling me that, you know what I've done is that after every 5 prayers, I start praying one more prayer regularly. He will be judged according to his niyyat. But I was estimating, you know, what if he dies before he gets around to completing all 5 prayers? Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Don't wait. Do it now. And to Allah return all matters for decision. Ask the children of Israel how many clear signs we gave them. And whoever changes Allah's favor after it had come to him and accepts disbelief, then surely Allah is severe in punishment. After this treasure has come to us, if we turn away from it and choose the world over it, then we need not expect any mercy from Allah. Beautified is the life of this world for those who disbelieve. The truth of the matter, why we're really not obeying Allah, no matter how many excuses we might present is because we're just having too much fun and we don't want to stop having fun. And they mock at those who believe. We see people who follow Allah's command and we say, look at them, you know, they're fanatics, fundamentalists. Allah says, those who obey Allah's orders and keep away from what He has forbidden will be above them on the Day of Judgment. And Allah gives to whom He wills without limit. Mankind were one community, and Allah sent prophets with glad tidings and warnings, and with them He sent down the scripture, in truth, to judge between people in matters wherein they differed. Allah says that this Quran has been sent to judge between you, and only those to whom the books were given differed concerning it after clear proofs had come unto them through hatred one to another, sectarian prejudices, and we can think about the sectarian killings that have been going on in our own country. Then Allah by His leave guided those who believed to the truth of that wherein they differed. وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah guides whom He wills to the straight path. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Do you think that you will enter Jannah without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? We all want Jannah, don't we? We're all comfortably sure, even if we don't ever say it, we're all sure that we'll reach Jannah. Oh yes, of course we'll reach Jannah. Allah says, you think you're going to go to Jannah just like that? It's as simple as that? Yesterday we read, what is the price of Jannah? Obedience. When Adam a.s. disobeyed Allah, he was expelled from Jannah. How then can we expect to enter Jannah when we have nothing but disobedience on our record? They were afflicted with severe poverty. Allah says, you think your lives are tough? People say, oh, it's so difficult to follow Islam. You become a misfit. No one wants to meet you anymore. Allah says, think about their trials. They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments and were so shaken that the messenger and those who believed along with him cried out, Mata Nasrullah, when will come the help of Allah? Ala inna Nasrullahi qareeb. Know that the help of Allah is near. When we start praying regularly, what is it that we expect to hear? Some taunts, some jeers that you've become a Molani. Nobody ever threatens our life. Like in some countries, women go through such trials to wear hijab. Women are imprisoned for wearing hijab. We've never faced trials like that. Allah says, do you think you'll enter Jannah just like that without having been tested? يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Now the discourse turns to spending. They ask you what they should spend. Say, whatever you spend of good must be for parents and relatives and orphans and the needy and the traveler. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. And whatever you do of good deeds, indeed Allah knows it well. See, this is the second time we find this emphasis on voluntary spending, on sadaqat. And in Ramzan especially, we should increase, we should emphasize our sadaqat, because in that month, every good deed, the reward for that is multiplied thousandfold. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Jihad has been ordained for you, although you dislike it. It's not just sacrificing our wealth, we should sacrifice our time. We should be prepared to lay down our lives for Allah. Like people give huge checks and donations and they sit back and think, oh, we've done a lot and we don't need to pray now. Because we've pleased Allah, we gave so much, I gave so many lakh rupees in charity. Allah says, jihad is ordained for you. Fighting has been ordained for you. Do something with your time. Spend your time, your body's energy as well. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. And you dislike this. But maybe you dislike something and it is good for you. And maybe you love something and it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you do not know. We should all highlight this ayat. If we could only understand this ayat, if we could only act upon it, we could face with equanimity every trial in our life. When something happens against our will, when something happens that we didn't want, that we hadn't bargained for, and we say, no, I can't bear it, no, this is not the way I wanted it to be, and we feel upset, and we torture ourselves by brooding about how it could have been another way, Allah says, maybe you dislike something, but it is good for you, and maybe you love something, you're dying for something, and it is bad for you. Remember, Allah knows and you do not know. And again, we need to remember that hadith, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Allah says, I am according to my slave's concept of me. So if whenever anything happens to us, we think, my Allah loves me, this must be for my good, inshallah Allah will make it for our good. And if we think, oh, this is so unfair and Allah has never done anything for me, then Allah will leave us in that situation.
وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you do not know. Maybe many years later you realize the wisdom of that misfortune. Maybe we'll never realize the wisdom of that misfortune. But this should be our belief, that Allah knows and we do not know. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ. They ask you concerning fighting in the sacred months. See, fighting therein is a great sin, and the greatest sin with Allah is to prevent mankind from following the way of Allah, to disbelieve in Him, to prevent access to the sacred mosque, and to drive out its inhabitants. And persecution is worse than killing. And they will never stop fighting you until they turn you back from your religion, if they can. And whosoever of you turns back from his religion and dies as a disbeliever when someone renounces Islam, حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. His deeds will be lost in the world and in the hereafter. When a Muslim renounces Islam, his nikah is made invalid. He is disowned by his parents. He's cut off from inheritance. All his good deeds are wiped out and he is not even buried in the Muslim graveyard. May Allah protect us from such a fate. And they will be dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein forever after turning back. Indeed, those who have believed and those who have migrated and have striven hard in the way of Allah, all these hope for Allah's mercy. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. They ask you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning alcohol and gambling. Say, in them is a great sin and some benefits for men, but the sin of them is greater than their benefit. Now this is the first stage that came in the prohibition of wine and gambling. And wine means all intoxicants. Inshallah, we'll find the details in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Here Allah is simply giving a brief hint. Yes, there are some benefits. If you gamble, chances are you can earn a lot. If you drink wine or, you know, get intoxicated, you will get that temporary relaxation. But the sin is greater than the benefits. So Allah is giving a subtle hint here that you can think for yourself, should you do something which will harm you more than benefit you? And the details will come inshallah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And they ask you what they ought to spend. قُلِ الْعَفْوَى. Tell them forgiveness. See, some people love to give sadaqat, but they have the most cruel tongues imaginable. Allah says, قَوْلُ مَعْرُوفٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. A kind word and forgiveness are better than that sadaqah which is followed by pain. If you're going to give your servant money but then taunt him about it and remind him about it, then it's better that you say a kind word to him instead. Thus Allah makes clear to you His laws, in order that you may contemplate in this world and the hereafter. And they ask you concerning orphans. Say, the best thing is to work honestly in their property. And if you mix your affairs with theirs, then they are your brothers. And Allah knows him who means mischief from him who means good. In other words, we should not embezzle the property or any earnings of the orphans that we might be holding in trust for them. And if Allah had wished, he could have put you into difficulties. Indeed, Allah is almighty, all wise. And do not marry those women who do shirk hatta yu'minna, until they believe. A Muslim man can only marry a Jew or a Christian, unless of course it's a Muslim woman. And indeed a slave woman who believes is better than a free woman who does shirk, even though she pleases you. And give not your women in marriage to those men who do shirk until they believe. And indeed a believing slave is better than a free man who does shirk, even though he pleases you. Now we find that in Islam, a Muslim man, as I mentioned just now, is only allowed to marry a Muslim, Jew or a Christian woman. He cannot marry anyone outside this. The Muslim woman is only allowed to marry a Muslim man. Now generally we hear women complaining that this is such discrimination. But really if you think about it, this is Allah protecting that woman from the hardships that would inevitably ensue if she were to marry a non-Muslim. You know, we see sometimes that when women do marry a non-Muslim, whether a Jew or a Christian, and they don't convert, what happens as a result? At the end of the day, that Muslim woman's own iman suffers, her own deen suffers, her own children, they're totally confused. They don't know which world they belong to, which culture they belong to. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the woman. Those invite you to the fire. Remember, such people invite you to the fire. Wallahu yad'u ila al-jannah. And Allah invites you to Jannah. So before complaining about any of His commands, let's think about what the ultimate goal Allah wishes for all of us. Allah invites you to paradise and forgiveness by His leave and makes His verses clear to mankind that they may remember. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ. They ask you about menstruation. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. Say, it hurts. See Allah's tenderness for women over here. Allah is saying that when they wonder about menstruation, هُوَ أَذَى, it's painful. In other words, there's a hint here that be sensitive to the women's needs at that time. Don't bother them. They're going through PMS. They're going through pain right now. Therefore, keep away from women during menstruation and do not go to them until they are purified. This is Allah's love for us women. And when they have purified themselves, then go in unto them as Allah has ordained for you. Indeed, Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance, and Allah loves those who purify themselves.